I always loved my papa. Papa, I mean, I feel so old timey saying that word out loud. I loved my papa, but that's what I called my grandpa. It was a nickname ever since I was a kid. I started calling him that, and that stuck. So we all called him Papa, and I loved Papa. But there was this understanding between the both of us that we were just cut from a different cloth. There was this, in one way, okay, maybe I'll say this. In one way, we had this kindred spiritness about us, especially once I started getting older. He was someone who people like Adam Savage or Van Neistat have coined this term that's popular nowadays called a creator or a maker. Someone that's making things with their hands, making stuff out of wood, woodworking, electronics. If you could think of it, he could make it. I mean, literally the house I grew up going to visit him in was a cabin on the Lake of the Ozarks that he built by hand. He and my grandma, me mom, moved up to the Ozarks, and they, in the summers, they literally pitched a tent on this open land, and he built this cabin that became their home they lived in. So on one hand, I genuinely feel like that was passed down to me, this wanting to make things and this need to use my hands tangibly. And I feel like it's such a weird thing being a bass player. Or even a photographer in the modern day. So much of it can just exist ephemerally. Like I record things and it just turns into digital dust. But the thing that really connects me to music and photography is the tangibleness of it. I love just like feeling this craftsmanship in my hand that is a guitar. And I loved, that's why I love shooting film. So I genuinely feel like that was passed on from him. And my dad was the same way. But on the other hand, there was always this understanding. I just always felt different and separate. And for the longest time, I thought it was because I came into this world just as this emotional being. Just I didn't know what to do with my emotions. They didn't know what to do with my emotions. I was creative. I was an artist, I feel like, right from the beginning. But there was something more. There was something more beyond the just personality traits. It was like something, some like algorithmic coding within us that was different. I always thought it was just their personality from the get-go, and my personality from the get-go was kind of this separation. But as I got older, I realized that wasn't it, that their coding had been changed in a way. Last night, Sarah and I were watching the show Band of Brothers, which is actually really interesting. It was an HBO show back in like 2001, maybe. This show follows a battalion of paratroopers in World War II, and they're like flying into Europe, and it's showing a bunch of their combat and what they're going through. In this episode that we watched last night, one of the main characters is he had gone through all this shit the past 5 episodes. He's gone through battle. Like he's a commander. He's seen people die under him. He's making all these heavy decisions. He's has like this battle fatigue. And then all of a sudden in the middle of this episode, there's a lull in the battle and he is given 2 days off to go to Paris and just maybe that's like a whole week. I think he has a weekend pass and he goes to Paris just to lay low and relax for the weekend. And it was made, there's so many things in the show that I didn't really think about when it came to World War II that I find really interesting. But this thought of while this battle is going, people are still living their normal lives. It isn't like everything's on freeze, even in Europe, and then until the end of World War II, shit's still happening. And so he goes to Paris, and it's this moment of him sitting on a train surrounded by people living normal lives. And he's having these flashbacks. They just came out of battle. And we paused it to refill our wine. And Sarah's like, made a comment about how crazy that is. How, like, it's almost unthinkable how someone could be in the middle of this battle and experience all that and to think that you could go back to everyday life and just like a snap of the finger, just everything's back to normal. I'm totally fine. And now I'm just a civilian again. And it was just one of those moments where like it just shoves that in your face, the reality of that. And so as Sarah and I are talking about this scene with flashbacks, I actually had a personal flashback to a conversation I had with my dad just after Papa's funeral a couple years back. And we were home, and after Papa died, I was put in charge of going through his computer and organizing all his files in a way that people could access it, because it was just, he had his own personal organization system, which I actually really loved doing, because I was like on his personal computer going through files and his organization, the way he thinks about stuff. I was like, oh yeah, I kind of think about file organization the same way. And so that was really interesting. As I'm going through, I found this file buried in his documents folder that it didn't, like something about life was the name of it. And like story. I opened it, and turns out he had written a autobiography of his life. And it turns out he had almost like perfect memory. He had almost like borderline photographic memory, but he could remember things from his childhood. And I printed it off and I read it and I shared some of it with my dad. And I found it was fascinating. These stories we had never talked about. And that was probably one of the hardest things about his passing and about my finding his autobiography was, like, I read it and I was like, I have so many questions. I wish I could have read this when you were alive, because I want to ask you all these questions specifically about you growing up and your experience in the military. He was both in the Navy and the Air Force, and he was just a little bit too young he was way too young. I think he was like 9 years old when World War II was happening. But he, in this autobiography, talked about World War II and what was happening, and how that was inspiration to him to join the military. That was his way out of Flint, Michigan, where he grew up. As I was reading this and hearing the story of his life, I found it fascinating, the ups and downs of work in his life. He talked about how when he came back from Vietnam, how this just feeling of being out of place, not knowing what to do with his emotions, and going through boot camp, essentially, in his words, were similar to what I would say would be like a recoding of your internal software. Like they're literally trying to turn you into a machine for their sake and for your own safety's sake, to be able to be active in extreme situations in wartime. And I'm reading this, I'm like, oh man, all this makes sense. Like this coding, this going into the military boot camp, seems to be a framework of that, of part of that space between us that I couldn't really put my finger on or put words to. And I kept reading, and all of a sudden I started reading things that were super similar to me that I could put my finger on, and I could be like, oh dude, we are totally different, but I have felt my own version of this at times in my life. And that was when he was talking about these periods in his life where he was in between work. He had left the military, come home, and he had moved to Missouri, and my grandma was working as a nurse, and he was in between jobs. And he talked in this autobiography about the depression that he was feeling, like this feeling of going from extreme usefulness, you know your position, you know your job, you know what you're supposed to focus on, to going to like, what am I doing with my life right now? And I talked to my dad in that conversation. I was like, man, okay, have you ever felt this in your life? Is this something that you've experienced? He was like, oh, 100%. Some of the darkest times I felt was when I was in between, not knowing my purpose, trying to figure out work situations. And we kept talking about it, and I realized, it's like, man, 100%, me too. And I know this sounds crazy, and I'm not putting on the same level with music, with being in the military or anything like that. But man, I remember when I got off tour in 2015. I've talked about this on the podcast in different ways, because I started the podcast 2 years later, and I'd gone from intense world touring in a band to nothing. Everything in my life stopped, and now I found myself sitting at home thinking, like, was all of this, like, me, like, pursuing music and a career in this a mistake? Because obviously nobody's hiring me right now. And I remember that time in my life really being followed by this depression. Like, what am I, like, this questioning about myself? Who am I? What am I doing with my life? It was a really dark period for me. And I was sharing that with my dad, and I was realizing, oh, this is like this shared feeling that the men in my family seem to share together. Maybe I just for myself, it's like these times between purpose, I might say, being out of work comes with a lot of darkness and frustration and questioning in my life. And I've spent a lot of time there over the past decade trying to figure things out. And this morning I was listening to a podcast interview with a guy named Phil Stutz, and he was on the Rich Roll podcast. And they were talking about life. And one of the things that they talked about were these three truths about life that you'll never escape. One is pain, one is uncertainty, and three was the need for constant work, something to be working towards, a focus. And I realized, oh, this isn't, maybe some of this is family stuff, but this is far more universal. These feelings that, like, man, because that's the deal, right? When I'm going through something, some kind of shit in my life, the first thing my mind goes towards is, oh, this is you. This is a me thing. I'm alone in the way I'm feeling about this. I'm the only one. But man, I'm just realizing the more and more I think about it, the more and more I talk to people, that I'm not alone in this situation. So I wanted to share with you a clip of this. I don't want to share the full podcast. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes to the full podcast if you want to check it out. But here's a clip of Rich Roll. I think he's out on a hike. He did some like Instagram reel post where he talks about these three things: pain, uncertainty, the need for constant work. And I totally felt this mental solidarity with it. The realization that I've spent so much time in my life trying to avoid, like thinking, or not even trying, but like just thinking that pain is something to be avoided. And I'm catching myself when I'm listening to this, like, I want to be really careful doing this podcast for the rest of this year to not look at the uncertain, artistic uncertainty as something that can be avoided in any way. Yeah. Okay. Maybe tomorrow I'll talk about that, my thoughts on that a little bit more. I'll end it with this. This is Rich Roll talking about the three truths of life.
I had this psychiatrist on the podcast the other day, Phil Stutz, and he shared three important truths about life. One, pain. Two, uncertainty. And three, the need for constant work. What does that mean, and why is this important? It's fine to have goals and ambitions, but if you are under the illusion that money, success, power, or status will absolve you of these three truths, that you will transcend pain, uncertainty, or the need for more and continuous growth, you will not only be sadly disappointed, you will most likely suffer resentment, perhaps anger, and it will certainly impair your happiness. So instead of fostering that expectation, instead try to tie or wed your goals and ambitions to meaning, to purpose, and to service. To try to find a way to gird your life with something that's personally meaningful, to find a way to give back in service to others for the collective above the interests of the ego and the individual, to cultivate a personal faith, a sense of spirituality, to understand that there is more to this short life than just our individual concerns, and finally, to cultivate a practice of gratitude or gratefulness, which means being more present in your life and directing more intentional thought and action towards the people you care about most and honoring the good that you already have in your life. Anyway, just a little thought on this morning hike high above Palm Springs. Let me show you.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.
Meow.